Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock. I want to go straight now to Robert. Good afternoon, Robert.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Robert, you wanted to talk to us about something you picked up in your local pharmacy.
Yes, I was in the pharmacy a couple of days ago and I saw these particular little packets on the counter and it said sexual health protection pack. And naturally, out of curiosity, I asked and they were free, so I picked it up and put it in my pocket. And when I got home at a later stage, I decided to open it and see what it was. And I realised that there was one condom in it, in a little packet, and a little explanatory leaflet. And I just was reading it down through the leaflet out of curiosity. And I came to a part then that said, reduce the risk of coronavirus during sexual activity. And I thought this is interesting because this is not an aspect of the COVID-19 pandemic that has actually been discussed before. So I said there may be some aspects of this that may be of interest. And there were five points mentioned on it. And it was the last one in particular that kind of drew my attention. And I was wondering exactly to whom was this leaflet and this package directed.
Right. And before you're going to read out that point, I'll just say this might not be a conversation that smaller ears should be listening to. So you might, if there are small ears around, you might want to turn down the radio there. But you want to read that it's the fifth bullet point on this risk, reduce the risk of coronavirus during sexual activity.
Yeah. And it just says on the fifth point, it says, consider masturbation or remote sexual activity, e.g. online, as alternatives to physical sexual activity with others.
Right.
I thought that was rather interesting to see on a free pamphlet in your local chemist that anybody could pick up.
Well, what's your issue with it, though, Robert?
Oh, I suppose an issue in general, I don't have an issue with it. I just thought that it is important that there be a lot of parents out there who deal in various different ways with their offspring, particularly their teenage offspring, in relation to sexual education of one type or another. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's quite a few parents out there who would be a little bit put out if their teenage son or daughter came home and said, you know, look at this thing about masturbation or looking at pornography online. It's in the chemist shop. It's all right to do that. But you've been telling me it's not all right to do that. And being left in a situation where I'd be possibly stuck for words as one of those parents would not be a particularly healthy situation for me to be in. So one of the reasons I brought it to your attention is that I think it's important that parents are aware that that pharmacies have this particular information that you can pick up off the counter, in particularly some of them. And anyway, and I've also had the other little issue about, I'm just wondering to whom is this particular pack directed?
Well, presumably to the public in general. Is that not, if it was left, they're available. I see it here. I've got the front of it here in front of me, or a copy of it. And there is a little speech bubble where it says, play it safe with an exclamation mark. And then it says, helpful advice on sexual health and coronavirus. And then it sees, it has the logo of sexualwellbeing.ie, the Irish Pharmacy Union. I can't make out the third one there, but it's also definitely the HSE logo is on that. So it's clearly official. State-backed, government-backed, HSE-backed campaign. And I suppose you can see why there would be concerns around this part of our life and how it might go forward in the world of coronavirus, Robert.
Well, yes, I can see that, and I can fully understand the message that they're trying to impart. But I think we know, in relation to coronavirus, the gospel out there etched in stone is that unless there are members of your own household, you stay at least 2 metres away at the max, and you have all these restrictions on gatherings and all that, which everybody is so familiar with now. So I wouldn't think there's too much of a need to say any much more about that in relation to sexual activity, particularly with people outside who aren't living with you, because it's quite obvious you're going to have to get certainly nearer than 2 metres to somebody if you're going to engage in any of that sort of thing. So, in fact, the message is already out there that you don't go near people you don't know for any reasons. So to have to, you know, bring it out like this, I didn't think it was possibly necessary, but it doesn't have any particular effect on me as such. But I think I was just interested in the final point in that list of suggestions for reducing the risk of coronavirus during sexual activity, that is actually recommending that you actually try these other things, which so many parents, I'm sure, around the country have possibly mentioned, particularly the looking at pornography online, that they've possibly been attempting to dissuade their teenage sons and daughters from doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is definitely a particular issue around online porn and the type of porn that's out there, and whether or not it is a healthy visual images and messages for young people in particular, particularly if this is where they're learning their sexual activity from.
Yeah.
The idea that masturbation is it kind of makes sense, really, doesn't it? That if you don't live with a sexual partner, if you can't, you know, engage as you might have done before with sexual partners from other households, you don't have many options left but masturbation.
No, I agree, and you know, that's every man and woman to himself and herself, as they say, in relation to that. And I have no moral attitude towards masturbation at all.
Now, I was going to ask you that, Robert. You're not you wouldn't be a religious man yourself.
No, I am most definitely not, Katie. Most definitely not.
But as you say, you think that some parents might balk at the notion of a state-sponsored campaign to encourage people to access porn online.
Yeah, I think it's something that could have been possibly explained a lot better. But I don't think there's any need. I mean, bringing in the masturbation thing, it could be considered to be as harmless as anything in life. But sort of going on to the pornography on websites, and I agree with you on this, that I've heard anecdotally, and I must emphasise anecdotally, that there is some very, very rough stuff out there if you want to start looking for it. And no better people than, of course, teenagers today who can wipe the floor with me and most adults and mature adults with how to deal with the internet in general. So, and that is not a healthy scenario, I think.
Right. OK, will you please stay with us, Robert, because I've got a few more callers who want to discuss this. I think Bernie, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
Yeah.
I'm glad Robert brought that up, because I haven't seen it. I hadn't heard about it, only on the Ronan Collins show there. But my immediate reaction, because I only heard what Robert had said, my major reaction was, is this the first step to dehumanising human beings and to getting them to look online and to getting them to be your own partner and masturbate? And I just felt quite sad about that, because usually, and the word intimacy, I think, came in. I don't know where that came in, but I was listening to that word intimacy. And anytime anybody hears that, they think, sex. And it's not always about sex. Intimacy is about closeness. It's about familiarity. It's about friendships. I don't have a partner in my life sexually, but I have lots of intimate relationships with my friends, my grandchildren, my parents. But the thing, going back to what I said on these leaflets about, you know, masturbation,
consider masturbation or remote sexual activity, e.g. online
sexual activity. Yeah. A lot of us have our own built-in morals and values, and some things around sex are very, very natural, and I think people are aware of them. But if I went online and started looking at pornography, I think my whole morals and values could be lost. I certainly
do.
Would
you,
like,
Bernie?
If I went online, I think I may lose my mind. I don't know, Katie. I don't want to come across a prude. I'm quite open-minded, but I do have I do have values, of course, and I think everybody does. I think young people, lots of young people that I know have very good values, and a value system without religion that they brought in for themselves. I'm very aware of it as a grandmother, watching even my own children, how they brought in their own morals and values when people started leaving the Catholic Church for all the various reasons that we know. Mm-hmm. I would be very much a spiritual person, developing spiritually, sexually, personal development, awareness. I teach a lot of that stuff. So I would be looking, and I think...
Are you a teacher, Bernie?
I'm a personal development facilitator.
All right, okay. So would sexual intimacy, all of this, come into what you would do with students?
Well, I don't. I would you believe it or not? I work with. I started this 30 years ago, and I worked with a lot of women in their 30s who, in the Ireland we grew up in, would have had, and especially women would have had no idea about their sexuality. So I would have. From 30 years ago, I would have taught a lot of that stuff. Not facilitated. The word teach is not right. More facilitate people to look at their own sexuality instead of looking at the way we were brought up.
But then, Bernie,
I'm 65 now, so I'm talking about the women I worked with were my own age 30 years ago, where we were coming into an era of more sexual freedom, of more... you know, these women that had been put down for so long and, oh, I'm embarrassed and this and that and the other. So that was a good time. But there's always, you know, bad times and things happen during change. And bringing pornography out there as something that's natural is not a good thing that the HSC are doing for young people. Young people, every one of us as human beings, have our own morals and values set within us. We know instinctively. Ask a child that's been sexually abused. They know instinctively. You know instinctively if someone's touching you and it's wrong. So we don't need people to put it down in writing. Give young people and people that are out there the confidence that they have, that it gives them that they do know, they have
but
common sense.
But what would you say, Bernie? I mean, as you say there, you worked with women who into their 30s should have been well aware of all of these issues and
I'm talking about 30 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying so you've been there, you've talked to people in this situation, but what would you say to people who are in this situation now, not living with a sexual partner, totally sexually frustrated, you know, what are they to do?
Well, now it's very hard for me to say on radio. If I'm talking to a person one-to-one, I'm dealing with that one person and we will talk and I will listen to them. It's something I can't talk about on the radio because it's very like that. Even that conversation is intimate that I have with people. So I will be listening to a person and it's very confidential. It's very, and we will work together. Or we will work in a group, or, you know, so I'm not going to just say on radio, it's not coming off the top of my head because I would be more intimate with the person.
But you would never advocate, you know, accessing, you know, porn materials? Or...
I personally wouldn't. But then if somebody came to me, I don't need that in my life. I don't need, but I'm not saying never, 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 because if somebody's sitting in front of me and I'm listening to them and I can see into that person's soul or their heart and like hearing what they're saying, I am going to then facilitate and whatever. If there's something going overboard, as Robert said, some pornography out there is so easy for children. That is not good for mental health, sexual health. That's not sexual health. Whereas some... I'm not saying something, of course something can be stimulating, can be good. We've seen some films, I know I've seen some films that are quite sensual and they're lovely and they're beautiful and that is lovely. But when you go into the internet, for young people, I don't think I would have been able, first if I was young, what's on the internet now, okay, really. So I'm just wondering why the HSC would advocate that, and I think it's something that should be taken out.
Okay.
And
okay.
People need to remember the word intimacy is not about sex.
Okay.
Always.
Okay, Bernie, please do stay there. And Robert is still with us, but I want to just bring in Sharon before I go back to Robert. Sharon, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Good, Sharon. What's your view on this?
So my view is completely opposite to what you've been hearing from the other callers. I think masturbation is completely normal. It's a completely normal, healthy part of growing up, human development, you know, puberty, adolescence. And I think despite what people want to believe, it's quite normal to watch pornography. I think the majority of young people do watch pornography. I think, you know, it's very easy to access, I agree. And it's not a new thing, do you know what I mean? It's not a new thing. It's been around for years and years and years, you know, even before the internet there was, you know, Playboy magazines and...
Yeah, you know, I saw today the Playboy magazine was banned in Ireland until 1995.
Yeah, but I think there is huge problems in the pornography industry, huge, huge problems, and it is a very misogynistic industry, and it is, it's 100% mostly catered to men and males, and there is very extreme stuff out there.
And there's people who really, really worried that they're that young, you know, our very young people coming into puberty are, you know, they dress the way they dress, they understand sex in a way that is understood from looking at all the wrong porn sites.
Yeah, and these leaflets and different things, and, you know, maybe finding out that your child or your sibling or whatever is looking at pornography is an absolutely brilliant opportunity to open up a healthy conversation, you know, let them ask whatever they want to ask, you know, and not shame them for something that's completely normal. Like, every young person has looked up, you know, on the internet, sex or whatever.
Do you, I mean, it has occurred to me during this time that people who would have had very active social lives, people in their 20s, who's, you know, it's that time in their lives where they're going out and hooking up, and that this is a very, very difficult time for people who's...
Who, exactly, and even like on the leaflet when it's saying, I can't remember exactly what it said, but you... internet memes or something.
It says, consider masturbation or remote sexual activity, for example, online as alternatives.
That doesn't mean looking at pornography. That could mean, you know, having phone sex, as they call it, with your partner, or, you know, having a raunchy conversation on the phone or text or sending pictures with someone who you're in a long-term exclusive relationship with. You know what I mean? That could be interpreted anyway.
Yeah, I think, right, to be fair to Robert, the reason he thought of porn right away is because it does say in brackets, for example, online. So that was the example they gave. But obviously, yes, that's not the only kind of remote sexual activity that people could be engaged in. So you think this is a very positive development, this pack?
I think it's a good opportunity for parents to have healthy and open, you know, open-ended conversations with their young people. And, you know, because young people are turning to the internet because they feel they can't talk to their parents about these things. Do you know what I mean? If they felt comfortable and safe talking to their parents about these kind of issues, they probably wouldn't have to, you know, look up. I think with a lot of young people watching porn, it starts off with looking up something completely innocent, you know.
Yeah.
And stumbling across it.
Okay. Sharon, I've got Anne on another line. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. Well, I suppose, like most people, I think, in the country, I was rather shocked, to say the least of it, because the virus has been responsible, sadly, for so many deaths. Now is it going to be responsible for the start of that awful road to pornography? Now, like every other...
I'd say that road is well travelled already, Anne.
Well, that's why I'm shocked that it's emphasising the word of that again with this message. That's exactly my point. But the other thing is, like everybody else, I, like a mother and grandmother, I felt very sorry for the young people. I said, isn't this dreadful? It's going to ruin their whole social life because there's nowhere they can go, and especially those in a romance who might have an intimate relationship. And then for others who are starting off hoping to meet a man or a girl, isn't it awfully sad? That's the first message. Now, if this is cashing in because are they regarding a substitute for romance, which will certainly and ultimately lead into the world of pornography, whether we like it or not? And as you rightly said, we've had enough of that already. That's why it's very hard to take on board this message. But
I don't know, did I rightly say we've had enough of that already?
No, you did not. Oh, no, certainly not. What I meant was, no, I was expressing my own... No, that was my own line.
Oh,
not
good,
at
okay.
all.
I was wondering how I had an out-of-body experience there for a minute.
Yeah, that the word was there, like, of pornography. Oh, no, that's my own line. But, I mean, I don't know. The whole world...
What shocks you about this, though, Anne? What is the thing that is shocking to you about this?
Well, the thing that is shocking to me is that a message can be sent out as if it's the norm to get online and to substitute for the norm of sexual activity between young people, but to get it online. Now, that raises a point. It's going to go into the whole world of pornography, and it actually could break up already romances, because if a man or a woman get into this world of watching pornography, the ordinary romance they have mightn't sort of live up to this wonderful world in their eyes of pornography. It's not exciting enough. So that you could have many romances broken up by getting involved. I think we have to really have very high standards for young people, and to think that the virus could be responsible for this as well. I know it's hard on young people. We all know that. But it's not a toy. Sex is not a toy. The romance has to be there. And while it's hard on people, of course it is, they have to, like everybody else, little sacrifices have to be made.
But in terms of, you know, we know the issues around the virus is we have to try and keep away from other people in as much as possible. But surely then, you know, masturbation is the, if you need to be sexually satisfying yourself, the only way to do that is through masturbation.
Well, of course, different people would have different views on that. I think
what's your view on that, Anne?
Well, my view would be to try and get away from the whole thinking of the sexual, if you like, appetite for people. They've got to, if you like, substitute, bring in, go in for sport, do all that kind of thing. While masturbation would be a personal thing, myself, I wouldn't actually go along with it at my age, anyway, as a woman. But I think they've got to think that there is more to life than that. But, you see, it's not so much the that part that's so dangerous. It's the going on online and then into what comes along with pornography. It all leads to that. It's not enough for them. They self-satisfaction wouldn't be enough. They want to, if the excitement comes, and then they're hooked.
And you're ruined. You're ruined for just regular sex after that.
Absolutely. So I do really think, to be quite honest, that the message being sent out is very dangerous. I don't think there's any need for any message. Whoever brought it up, there was no need. We all know with human beings that it's awfully tough on young people. And me, my first thought was, oh my goodness, poor young people, they can't start nice romances. And it even, to be quite candid, across my mind from a sexual point. Now, my generation wouldn't have been into that. We were all kind of very good, if you like. Marriage was so important. We're in marriage. That's where we got our sex. But for those in the world of today, it's a different story. But I think it has to be controlled. And I do think that whoever started this whole thing rolling, I think it's shame on them. As I said again, we're all in touch. Not in touch, that's a bad word to use, but we're all aware of the world of pornography and the dangers. So why do they want to enhance all this even further?
Okay. And I really want to continue the conversation with you and with our other callers who are still on the line, but I do have to take a break very quickly, but we'll be back after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Yeah, we're listening to Anne there. Sharon, isn't that a good point, though, that if pornography is, you know, becomes a big part of your, you know, your sexual activity, that it can have consequences for, you know, the more vanilla world of, you know, reality sex?
Oh, 100%. I definitely agree with that statement. But I think, you know, like anything, too much of anything is bad.
Yeah, but Anne thinks it's dangerous that the HSE would be pushing us towards online pornography.
Well, I mean, they didn't directly say, you know, go and look at pornography.
Well, they said consider remote sexual activity, for example, online as alternatives to physical sexual activity with others.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I do agree that it can be dangerous if it's, you know, if it's abused or if it's not done in a healthy way, you know, if it's if you're thinking about pornography more often than you would be thinking about your own partner, or if you'd rather be watching pornography than be with your partner. But I don't think there's anything inherently bad about suggesting it to people.
I wonder, has accessing pornography, you know, increased hugely or gone through the roof since the whole pandemic got underway? I haven't actually seen anything on that, but it'd be really interesting to see if it has triggered a rush to these websites.
Well, actually, I did see online that one of the biggest websites for pornography, they actually have a, you can watch it for free and then you become a member. And they actually made it free for everybody, so people who weren't members could actually get the exclusive content, whatever that means, at the very start of the pandemic.
Right.
When everyone was in lockdown. So I think there is definitely, like, has been a huge increase to people watching it.
Yeah, and of course it's legal, and we should say that. I mean, I know that back in the 60s, Bishop, the Archbishop of Dublin, the famous, infamous John Charles McQuaid, did try and get the government to ban pornography outright, but it remains legal for access.
Well, with anything, like if you ban anything, people are still going to do it.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe do it even more in some cases. I just want to bring Bernie back in. You've been listening to that debate there, Bernie. What Sharon is saying there, that it's healthy. It's you know, it's part of the world we live in.
I actually agree with a lot of what both Sharon and Anne have said. And I think was it Anne said about the open-ended questions of parents. Very much I would have done that, but I also know, and we all know, that teenagers really don't want to talk to their parents, no matter how open-minded that we are. They love talking to their own peers, and that, myself included, we love to talk to our own peers and maybe learn more. But I agree with a lot of what I said there. I'm just wondering why the HSE needed to even suggest that. As I said earlier...
Well, I suppose the HSE, you know, have all sorts of public health campaigns on the go, and they offer all, you know, advice for, you know, for all areas of life that might affect our health. So why would they hold back on this one?
Well, it's how it's said, Katie. It's how it's said... I know Anne is saying they didn't actually say pornography, but the minute I heard remote online or remote thing, my first thing was pornography. And maybe I'm wrong in that, but that was my first thought. And
to be fair to you, I think most people's first thought would be...
I think maybe it was, yes. So what I said earlier too, we need to give people credit for what they feel naturally, instinctively, for their own good health, for their own sexual health, for their own overall well-being. And I think people, we need to give them credit for that.
But sure, Bernie, didn't you tell me yourself you dealt with women who were in their 30s and, you know, just didn't have the knowledge or the information about their own sexuality?
Absolutely, that's going back to that time.
But there may still be people out there who are in that situation.
Absolutely, and then they should come to one of my courses. I don't need to read. You're not going to learn by reading something on a HSE leaflet as far as it's far down. You're not going to learn that way either.
Okay, listen, your point there about going immediately to thinking about porn when you heard the word online. Can I just bring in John Barrett, because you think we might be jumping to conclusions here. John.
You are. The HSE never said anything about pornography. The way I read it when I saw it was online remote sexual activity with somebody that you know, a boyfriend or a girlfriend from another household.
Well,
I mean, I doubt the HSE are going to advise people to look at pornography. That wouldn't be in their wheelhouse. But people do this all the time. They read something and they don't actually read things properly.
But in fairness, remote sexual activity, e.g. online.
Yes, but lots of things are online. You can Zoom.
Well, I mean, it's quite a broad... That is quite
Skype.
It's a pretty broad statement, but it certainly would... it would certainly not rule out the possibility of...
No, it wouldn't. But it wasn't the first thing I would have jumped to. Maybe I'm... maybe they could be more precise in their words, and maybe they should have got somebody with a more with a legal mind and to look at it, and because words mean an awful
lot. But maybe they do mean porn.
Maybe they do, but I have a doubt with the HSE. I very much doubt that. And the IPU, I doubt they're going peddling porn sites. But maybe they are, I don't know. But I, that's not the way I read it. I thought it was quite innocent. I thought more people might have been shocked by the masturbation, but there you go.
The end result, this is Anne, it's the end result that is the dangerous part. The end result. It's what? Like the gambler online. He starts off gently.
The end result of what, Anne?
He's a full-time gambler. Losing his shirt, to use the old expression. But while that last gentleman has mentioned, they didn't use the word pornography, but look, it doesn't take... it takes, really, no innocent person to believe that it's the end result. That's how everything... Doesn't everything start online? And where does it end?
Well, I was around before the internet ever arrived. Well, I'm not that old. But there was pornography back in the 80s as well.
There was, you know, but there is, you know, more... I think you have to admit, we're living in a more open world now. And years and years ago, maybe so many young people wouldn't be involved. But certainly in this day and age, when it's so rampant, we're only adding to it. And I think...
But
again,
I have to say, I'm not a spokesperson for the HSE by any means. But I don't that is what the HSE are encouraging. And the other thing I have an issue with is young people. There are other people in this world, apart from young people, that have sex.
No, that's a very good point, John.
Yes,
Everybody jumps, and I don't know many young people that go into chemists anyway, really, that often.
Yes,
that
but it's the young person. It's the young person's life that's destroyed. If the older person wants to behave that way, but it's the young people who are coming up, that's where the sadness comes.
Can I come in again, Katie?
Whose lives have been destroyed? I think there's an awful lot of perception about young people and their ability to make decisions for themselves.
I agree with you, John, because I'm actually a youth worker.
Well, I only have one nephew, but I live in a town in Tremor, and most of the young people that go up and down to the school here today seem fairly well adjusted. And from speaking to their parents, I don't think there is there is always going to be an exception. There is going to be a few that do things wrong, but that's normal in any society. I think sometimes we need to have more faith in
our young people.
Yeah, Sharon, were you disagreeing with John there?
No, I was agreeing. I was saying, you know, I'm a youth worker, and I think we need to have more faith in our young people. You know, they're not
brain
dead. You know, they're not just standing there waiting.
Our young people are wonderful.
Listen,
but the message coming out is really pointed at young people, because young people are coming into that sensitive age where they're beginning to think sexually. So it's the young people then start the road. That's why I mentioned the young people. Of course, middle-aged, even old people. Of course, everybody. I'm involving everybody. But I'm concentrating on the very young people who are just starting out in their teenage years.
Well,
they're the people that should be...
I went back to college and did a degree in law. And the majority of the people in my course were young people at 17, 18. And I tell you something, they were more old-fashioned and prudish than I was when they were 18 and 19. Because if they knew all the stuff that I actually got up to at their when I was their age, they would have thought I was a complete mad person. So
is that Bernie? Yeah, Bernie.
We're going completely off the point as well. Can I just come back and say, probably the last thing I'm going to say is what's really, really sad about the online, going away from pornography, if it's Zoom online with a partner, how sad is that really? I feel very sad about it if it was me, because
well,
we're missing
not
out.
Bad, is it?
Hang on a second. You're missing out. If we're Zooming, we're missing out on the real intimacy, the affection, the sensuality, the cuddling, the holding. It's very, very, it's like dehumanizing a person. I think that's really, really sad about the whole thing that's happening. It's very cold and calculating. And, you know, I just think that's something I needed to say. I just think it's very sad to have to do a Zoom call.
Who's that? Sharon. Sharon?
Yeah, I completely, wholeheartedly disagree with that because, you know, what if you're in a long-distance relationship and you physically can't touch the other person?
True.
Or if you're in isolation or, you know,
Sharon, just
couldn't leave the house.
Absolutely. Then that's short term. I'm talking about if this is coming to be long term and people are getting used to it, it is quite sad, isn't it? That you're missing out. Okay, a long-term, I do get that. Even a long-term relationship, you're going to meet up. It's just the whole emphasis on Zooming online to have a relationship. I just think it's people are missing out on the whole, that whole affection, intimacy. You know, that it's just how I feel. And yes, I would, if I had a long-term relationship, of course you're going to do that. But don't advertise it as a long-term thing.
Have to be about intimacy and love. You know, you can have casual sex. People have casual sex all the time, you know, and that's completely normal as well. It doesn't have to be about love and intimacy. You know, I think we need to really get rid of this notion that sex is sacred, because I don't think it is. Do you know what I mean? And it really affects young women more than anyone. They're the ones that, who, you know, have this notion of losing your virginity, and you know, sex is something you give to somebody, it has to be somebody you love. Like, that's very, very dangerous for young people, and that can cause a lot of emotional trauma and different types of issues. So I think we need to teach young people that sex is very normal. It's fine
Absolutely.
To have casual sex, and there doesn't always have to be, you know, with a long-term partner, or, you know, things are changing, really.
It is probably...
I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Sharon, it probably is better, though, as Bernie was saying there, if you can actually be in the same room as the person you're having sex with.
Yeah, ideally.
I think that's Bernie's point, really, in that they're two different things, those two activities.
Yes, they are.
Having
sex in person,
exactly, as opposed to sex down
the
line.
But you know, sometimes if you can't get one, you have to just settle for the other.
Can I just ask Anne to comment on that idea that we're too hung up on this idea of sex being sacred and, you know, has to be kept for this special thing? Anne?
Well, you know, the whole thing, I think we're missing the whole point. I think, again, there was no need for any message coming out, because it starts then going to into all avenues. And out of today, listening to it, people would say now, oh yes, this is what's happening. It's all pornography. They're going off board. No, we're not going off board. It's what it's leading to. And I think it has opened up all about, I mean, we know ourselves, permissiveness is very common. Compared now with my time, it certainly is. And I think it's nearly getting worse. But if you don't mind, I'd just like to mention again that when I was speaking about young people, I think young people, they're just wonderful what they do. But this is the contradiction, that the message coming from today is absolutely getting at young people, the vulnerable people. The older people can make up their mind, but the young person, that's, I think, the danger. They take this little message, they read it. Oh, yeah, the chemist. Right, HSE. Oh, yeah, well, now, that's like more advice we're getting. So we can go ahead, we'll go online, and that's where the danger starts.
Well, I don't think that's particularly true, because, you know, an older person could walk into a pharmacy, pick this up, as the initial caller did. Sorry, I can't remember his name.
That was Robert.
I'm not so concerned about the older person. I'm more concerned about the young, vulnerable person, the early teenager now, who's going into that world, the excitement of being online, the excitement of getting to know people, the excitement of what follows through. They're the people we really need to mind.
Sharon?
Yeah, I agree with that, but I just think that, you know, it's it's a good opportunity, as I said, for an open conversation for parents with their young people. If, you know, if their young person picks up this, or if the parent picks it up and they see that, it's a good idea to say to the young person, you know, what do you think about this, or what does this mean to you? Because I'd be a young enough person, and I instantly interpreted that as, you know, Zoom or texting. Pornography didn't actually cross my mind at all. So that's just my perspective as a young person.
But the young people, if I just may, wonderful relationship, absolutely marvellous. But how many young people are going in to get that message? And of course, don't we all know there won't be a word spoken about it to their parents? But behind the
young people have been watching porn and looking at porn for years and years and years already before any of this. Before, it's not just going to suddenly happen now because of the HSE sending out a message on a leaflet on a condom.
But I would say we should not be looking at porn.
Okay, well, that's your opinion, but there's a lot of people that do look at porn.
In my opinion, I do think, and a lot of people, I think, would agree with me, that we should not be looking at porn.
Yeah, but where's that coming, you know, where's that coming from, the idea that you shouldn't be looking at porn because it's shameful? That's what people are taught and told,
yes.
And it's not, it's normal.
You don't need it in your life. If you're happy, and if you're mature in sexual activities or whatever, anything to do in that world, we don't need porn. There's nothing that you could stand by and say porn is good for you. It's good for you? No. You would have to be a great disciplinarian to watch a certain amount of porn without it affecting you. But my goodness, even before the virus came in, aren't we in the sad world of pornography?
Okay.
Why emphasise it again by encouraging young people to start on the line, which we're all agreed with mostly?
Well, they're already doing it. I'm sorry to tell you, they've been doing it for years now.
Okay, Sharon, will you stay there? Because I want to come back to this, but I do have to take a very quick break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And just there in the break, I went to see what the Catholic Church says about porn. It says it is, or masturbation, it says, is intrinsically and gravely disordered as an activity. But Sharon, talking to, going back to porn, you and they're saying that it's just fundamentally unhealthy, the porn and to watch porn. But you dispute that. You think that there is such a thing as healthy watching of porn.
To a certain degree, yes. You know, like with everything in a controlled environment, well, maybe not a controlled environment, but, you know, obviously there's porn addiction. That's a very real issue. You know, people get ideas from porn. You know, a lot of serial killers did watch, it's been shown that they have watched a lot of porn, and that's where they got their ideas from. But, like, the average person isn't going to watch a porn video and then go out and kill somebody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it does present sexual dynamics in a very particular way. A lot of porn does, because a lot of porn is made by men
and
for men.
That's what I said since the very start. It's very misogynistic, and it's very, like, it can be degrading to women, and it is made mostly for the pleasure of men. But there is, you know, feminist porn out there. There's all different types of porn out there. Every type of porn, there's all different types, you know, made by women, you know, made for women, you know. Sure. It's mad, you know, with women are making their own porn these days, you know, they're selling their nudes online and all this kind of crap, you know what I mean? And it's just, it's 2020 and people watch porn and, you know, they watch it and they go about their day.
Yeah, we came across this recently, these websites, the OnlyFans.com,
yeah.
Which is regular people who
literally, like the woman working at your local corner shop, like,
which is,
you know,
I think the appeal of those sites is that it is the girl working behind the till in your local shop or down the road, the girl next door type of thing, that
exactly
then people pay to see this girl do various activities.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon, I'm going to go to Mary. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. You've been listening to our debate.
I have, and I have to say that so far your speakers have really, really established the idea that
porn has become normalised in our society. Porn is a modern form of slavery. It's sexual slavery. And for our government to suggest that one group of young people exploit another group of young people who are trapped in these porn sites is absolutely disgraceful. That my tax dollars are going to that kind of advice. If people are saying that black lives matter, well, I can assure your listeners, sexual workers' lives matter also.
But I'm not familiar with this industry, but I know that people that there are a lot of people working in the porn industry, and in many spheres now are considered big stars in their worlds, and I don't think that they would be happy to be called slaves or regarded as slaves. Mary.
Well, I am sure that in the general run of things, you can extrapolate perhaps 2 or 3% of the industry that actually own their own agents, that own their own product, and it is a product. But we cannot normalise or generalise from that people are being reimbursed properly for that product. It is an absolute epitome of exploitation. And for the government to suggest that young people in Ireland, who are relatively well off, release their sexual tensions literally on the backs of young people in East European countries, for example, is absolutely disgraceful.
Is that your main issue with this? Is that you believe this is an exploitative industry and we shouldn't be in any way advocating support for it?
Absolutely. Katie, I have taught migrant workers whose only option, and they're right next door to each one of us, whose only option was to sign up for these porn sites or sign up into a brothel, a local brothel, and I can assure you that is not a choice they are making voluntarily. And for my government to suggest that a relatively well-off group of young people, which is what we have in Ireland, exploit them to relieve their own sexual tension is absolutely unconscionable.
Okay, but just so we're not jumping the gun and we're being very uh-huh. fair to everyone, I just want again sure. to tell people what it says in this leaflet. It doesn't say go on porn sites and
That's
release
right.
your sexual
yeah.
frustration. That way it says consider masturbation or remote sexual activity, for example online, as alternatives to physical sexual activity with others.
That's right.
So that's what it says. That's the very general line. That's
we can
it.
Draw only one conclusion really from
well,
that.
Well, Sharon, no well, Sharon and John earlier were drawing other conclusions. They said that when they saw that, they thought of Zoom calls and maybe text sex with a partner who can't be there.
That's a fair point. But for those people who are, including myself, who were drawing from that the idea that they might go on to commercial sites, mm-hmm. In other words, for that would be porn sites, if they wanted to make it exclusively about mutual relationships on Zoom, they could have put that on print, but they didn't.
Yeah, that's a point. That is a point.
So I'm entitled to take that idea from it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because that's, from my point of view, that is what they're talking about.
Yeah. I'm just going to ask Sharon that, because Sharon, you were kind of defending some types of porn. You said that there is healthy porn out there. Do you take up Mary's point there?
Yeah, and I do. I completely agree with Mary as well. You know, it is, I've said already, it's a very misogynistic industry. It is very exploitative, and it is mostly male-dominated, you know, with women are being exploited. I do agree, but I think there is good, healthy porn. Everyone is, you know, consenting adults, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and it's very normal for people to look at that kind of content, like they have been for years looking at, you know, dirty magazines or different kinds of things like that.
Yeah, it's just the modern version. I want to bring in Kevin now. Kevin Collier, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, hello, Katie. How are you doing?
Have you been listening to us?
A good bit of it, yeah. I didn't hear it all. Anyway, it's bad for my ears. But anyway.
Where do you stand on this?
Oh, I stand on it. I come to this from a Jesus Christ perspective. And that means that all this type of behaviour is totally and absolutely wrong. And matter how much those people come along and try to puff it up that this is the right thing to do and the young people should be masturbating and all that type of thing, That's completely and absolutely wrong. And the other thing now
is... why is that wrong?
Just to say, yeah. Katie, the other thing is, a male's semen is not stuff that is supposed to be flushed down the toilet or flushed down the drain or flushed anywhere. That is for the reprocreation, for people out there that don't know. That's what it's for. It's not for just, I feel like having a bit of sex at the minute. I masturbate myself, and just to keep me happy. That's not the way. And people, if people never had sex in their life, never, it wouldn't kill them. They wouldn't die as a result, you know. It's not like the COVID. Sorry?
We'd all die out.
Yeah.
What? What?
If no one ever had sex ever again, we'd all be extinct.
No, but all the people in the world don't have sex, you know.
Yeah, I know that.
Don't you be thinking that they all do, and the population hasn't run out. But I'm just saying, if people are feeling that they must have sex, or they'll die, they will not. It'll have no effect on their health. If they just decide this is not to be done, and anyway, we were put on this earth by God, and He gave us rules to live by, and one of them is that you don't have the only place sex should be had, or not sex either. I wouldn't even call it that because I think that's a promiscuous way. I think intercourse is the way and with your wife, not with any slut or woman or whoever you come across.
Kevin,
dare you?
Kevin, we won't have women referred to in that language on this programme. Thank you very much.
You needn't go jumping at me so high. It is a term that's been used, and not on the programme.
It's been used by you. I don't know anyone else who uses that term.
No, but I don't know anybody really that's out there promoting masturbation, except the HSE now seems to be the ones promoting that. Who gave them the authority to be able to promote that and say that this is the right way to go? And I must say, the few people...
Well, they're public health experts, Kevin.
You see, just take this, Katie, for a minute, and you're not green to all this yourself. You have a fair idea, of how life goes on. And
I do.
It's not for the HSE to be telling. If we don't follow the HSE in this particular thing, it doesn't mean the whole country or the whole world is going to get sick or they're going to die out because they're not doing these things. These things just... And I heard you there.
But it's... Kevin, is it not natural to be sexually frustrated, and is masturbation not just a natural human activity?
Masturbation is just not a natural thing to be doing full stop. That's just it. You can puff that up all you like and say, yeah, it is. The same way with pornography. Every person that would watch pornography, what would they do to their girlfriend? What would they do to their wife? Because they're watching this, and now they feel that it should be lived out, and now that they have a wife or a partner, well, she's the ideal one to try this out on, and I'm going to do it whether they like it or not. Now, this is totally and absolutely wrong, and I don't know why they're trying to push this so much. Those women come on there and they were talking about it, and they didn't agree with it. But in the finish up, they agreed that people should watch some sort of pornography. People don't need to watch any pornography, full stop. They do not. And if people never heard tell of sex or any of them things, pornography or anything else, when they'd get in a union, a married union, they'd think they wouldn't know what to do. How did the people manage all down the centuries? How did they manage? They didn't have sex education, and there's too much of that for the young people now as well.
And why do you think there was so much abuse going on and everything like that? Because they didn't have proper sex education.
Sorry, just to say to you, has abuse stopped? Did I miss that somewhere? Did it stop?
No, it hasn't. But how come people were so ashamed to talk about sexual abuse?
Are you married, Kevin?
I am indeed, yeah. Yeah, I am married.
And did you save yourself for the wedding night?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And did you find that? Did you find that a challenge?
Not at all. No, I didn't, no.
What age were you when you got married, Kevin?
Some people do, I'm sure, and some people don't. But that's the thing.
What age were you when you got married?
Well, no, I don't. Does it really matter?
Well, if you got married very young, perhaps the challenge mightn't be as challenging as somebody who maybe walked down the aisle a bit later.
I was well through my 20s at the time, you know.
Right.
That cut out all teenage stuff and all that type of thing, wouldn't I?
It would. It would.
Yeah, exactly. And it didn't come to me as a thing that I should go off and sleep with somebody or do anything like that. I never did until I slept with my wife. Like, that's the thing.
And, but you, would and you I accept, Kevin, that you'd be unusual in this regard?
No, of course I'm not unusual. There's nothing unusual about me. Anyone that knows me knows I'm not unusual. You know, I'm not. Well, of course I am to a point. I'm a one-off. There's only one of me in the world, you know. But apart from that, same as yourself, there's only one of you too, Katie. You know?
That's another thing God said.
It's normal for people not to want to have sex, but it's also very normal to want to have sex. And there's nothing wrong with having sex, whether you're married or not, as long as everyone involved is an adult and they've given consent.
You see, who am I talking to there?
That's Sharon, Kevin.
Sharon, just to say to you, Sharon, there's always a payment day for these things. And people that do all this... pornography and masturbating and all that sort of stuff, like, and having two wives and all this type of thing, that all has to be paid for. You know, you may think it's grand and fun and all at the
time. You don't have to pay to masturbate.
Yeah, hold on now, just let me finish the thing. The thing about it is that you do. You'll pay to the good Lord himself the day you close your eyes on this earth. That's when you'll pay for it. And I tell you one thing, if you ever heard tell of hell, you know, I'm sure you wouldn't like to end up in that because of masturbation and pornography.
I don't believe in God and I don't believe in heaven or hell.
Yeah, but that doesn't take them away. The point is, you see, they're still there. You know, you mightn't believe in the sky, but it's up there. Sorry,
okay,
you know,
well, you don't have any proof that that's true, so I don't even want to get into that argument with you.
The sky is up there.
No, the sky is there.
But Kevin, you must accept that the point you're making now, it would be a minority view.
No.
You don't accept that?
No. I tell you, Katie, even yourself now on the programme there, you think you had something to do with the pornography world yourself, the way you're talking about all this and thinking that this is the right thing, and of course all the young people and all that should be doing it. They're not. There's loads, thousands, millions of people out there in the world that are not doing these things and don't find any call for to do it at all. For the simple reason is, if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, you will not find the urge to do these things. That's the thing. And that's what we're
supposed to do. So that's the cure, is it?
But it's definitely the cure. It definitely is the cure, yeah. There's no doubt.
That's very dangerous,
so
pulling
much.
That across.
Sorry?
That's a very dangerous opinion to
What's
have.
What's dangerous about it? Do you think Jesus Christ is dangerous, do you?
I think the notion of religion is dangerous, and I think putting this message across to people that, you know, religion is the controller of your life and that masturbation and sex before marriage is wrong, that's very dangerous to put out to young people, and it's very unhelpful.
Sharon, if it's dangerous to be a believer, or otherwise, no, just to say to you, if you reckon it's religion to be a believer in Jesus Christ, I don't believe it is. It's because I think that Jesus Christ, he's above religion. He's the ruler of the whole earth, created it, and you as well, by the way, whether you like to believe it or not. He put you here, yeah, whether you like it or not. You may not want to believe in him,
my parents
that's your thing.
Put me here, and they weren't married.
Sorry?
I said my parents who had sex, they put me here, and they weren't married either.
Oh, well, that's their thing. But after all, he did put them there here as well. And as a result, you're here. And you'll have to answer for the wrongs you do. And promoting pornography to the young people, to think that that's the way
to send... I didn't promote pornography to anybody. I said it was normal. It is normal.
It's not normal. It is not.
I think somebody suppressed your emotions.
Do you think so? Oh, I doubt if they do. And there's the other thing now. You have women, like virginity, have you ever heard tell of that? That's supposed to be for your husband, not to be thrown around the world like that.
Why is it just for the husband, Kevin? What about the wife? Is virginity not supposed to be for your wife as well? Or is it just women that are supposed to maintain virginity?
Of course, yes, it's for both. It's for both should be doing it. Should be keeping their virginity. Yeah, from what you hear and from what people are saying and talking about is pornography and masturbation and all the rest. There's not much kept for anybody. You know, that's not the way life is supposed to be. Now, a lot of people jump around, and especially, I was going to say to you there a second ago, when you heard the thing on the priest, what they taught in masturbation, they can only think what God thinks about it, because they are working for God, and he thinks the same as I'm thinking. But you dismiss the priest view on it very quickly.
We all know what the priests were doing now behind closed doors.
Yes, some priests. Definitely, 100%, not them all. Some people have done wrong in the church.
And they were supposed to be men of God.
Yes, the way. But think of
Peter. That's the same God name you're talking about.
And Sharon, really, we need to be careful. We're not. I don't want, you know, all priests are not abusers,
exactly.
Obviously. And it's not fair to characterise the situation
100%
that way.
100% or not, anyway. Simple as that.
No, but I'm saying that they had the same ideology as Kevin had.
Yeah, but they didn't uphold it, like. That's the thing. You have to uphold it. It's no good having it. You have to live by it, like. That's the thing. And if you think God put us on this earth for to run around and do whatever we like and think that there was no consequences, like, all you got to do, read scripture, you'll soon find out that's the word of God, if you don't believe my version of it. I believe anything I say about God is in scripture, so I take
Kevin,
it then if you look that up.
Kevin, can I ask you, because I mean, and I appreciate and I respect you, you have you understand,
started,
I understand
yeah.
What you believe in, and you're strong by it and you stand by it, but do you find like living in the world that we live in now, with, you know, what's on in media every day, on television, on radio, on in HSE booklets, do you find that do you feel alone in this world? And do you feel that, you know, there's the people
alone.
Have do
I
you?
Don't feel alone. I don't take the hang up on it, if you follow me. I don't go out beating myself up every day because I'm not doing what everybody else is doing. Like, it doesn't affect me. It passes by. But when I get a chance to talk to anybody, I'll put my views, I'll put Jesus Christ's views across to people. I won't be just taken and running along with the crowd, because there's a price to be paid for it. And that only happens after we die, when we have to account to the good Lord himself. And it's not that we only have to account. He knows already. He can see. He knows what you're doing today. And he knows where you are. And he knows where I am. And this is the thing. He knows you can't cut him, like, that's the thing.
Okay.
But there is a payment. And people should stop this nonsense of trying to put all this pornography in front of the young people and letting them go ahead with. Tell them it's wrong.
Okay,
don't in any way be seen to encourage them. If they don't follow your way, if you tell them that it's wrong, they may go and do other things. But that's up to them if they do. You tell them. But you got to stick with it. You can't be saying, don't do this, it's wrong, and then come along, oh, I done this, and you say, oh, well, that's no bother, like, that's all right.
Folks, I need to take another break, but I do want to obviously continue this. So please, all of you, stay there and we'll come back after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we still have Kevin on the line, but I want to bring in Dan. Dan, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie.
Yeah, you were listening to Kevin there.
I was indeed.
And?
And I could not disagree more with what Kevin is saying. I think, unfortunately, Kevin, you expressed views that at one time may have been in the majority view in Ireland, but I think whether you wish to accept it or not, you would find yourself firmly in the minority today with modern Ireland. Your views are completely outdated, and more to the point, your views are based on Catholic teachings, and you say you're representing Jesus Christ, but you're not. You're representing a view of a church. You speak as if there are no other religions in the world. You speak as if the human body is not a wonderful, magical thing that should be used in every way possible to bring as much joy to the world as you possibly can. And I think to say that you have this one single view that doesn't allow for any sort of diversity other than what is taught in the Catholic Church, which has been destructive in so many ways, it's just so wrong.
Kevin?
That's interesting how I could be put down as saying everything that goes along with the Catholic Church. The thing about it is that man needs to realise is this. The Catholic Church is based on Peter, Jesus Christ,
no,
head apostle.
Kevin.
Just a second. You said your piece now.
It's wrong. What you're saying is incorrect. What you're saying is factually incorrect. It's not true.
It's
not about opinion. It's not a matter of opinion.
No, it's not true.
It's not true.
You can keep saying away it's not true.
But it's not.
The point about it is, it is true, whether you like it or not, it is true. And you're only doing this on your own bat and going with your own thing. What religion or am do you belong? Not that I want to know, because it doesn't bother me, to be honest with you. The Catholic Church runs on God's word. Now, just listen a second. They don't always follow it. I mean, there's lots of things that's in the Catholic Church and said about it and that I don't agree with. But it doesn't mean I am a Catholic.
Give us one thing you don't agree with, Kevin, on the Catholic teaching.
Yes. No, sorry, Katie. What did you say?
I said, could you give us an example of what you don't agree with in the Catholic teaching?
Just offhand, I can't, because I suppose I go along with a lot of it. But anyway, it follows the word of Jesus. That's why the Catholic Church cannot change. And the other thing about it is, people give this impression that what happens in Ireland and the change in Ireland and all that, and the great thing it is, we've got modern and all that type of thing. We've got modern, but we've gone away from God. That's the thing. We're following.
Kevin, let me ask you three questions, Kevin.
Don't believe in him either.
Let me ask you three questions, Kevin.
Go ahead.
Did you vote for the abortion referendum? Did you vote in favour of the abortion referendum?
Oh, I didn't vote in favour of it. No, I like.
Did you vote in favour of marriage equality?
No, I didn't.
And answer me this, if you will. And I know it's a personal question, but answer me this, if you will.
Yeah, answer whatever. Sorry, go.
Prior to marrying your wife, as you described earlier on, did you ever masturbate?
Yeah. Not at all. No.
I never
came on the urge to do anything like that. You know, that's the thing.
Kevin, you said you're getting out. Those three pieces of information are exactly why I believe you are completely out of step with modern Ireland. That is precisely why. Because your views are that of a dinosaur, Kevin. I respect you as a person.
Oh well, look, Dan, can I just say, to be fair, Dan, that you can't dismiss people. Everyone who, sorry, Kevin, I just want to say Dan that you can't dismiss everybody who voted.
His views on this particular subject are that of a dinosaur. It is outdated completely. It is not accepted in modern Ireland at all.
Dan.
Can I ask you, Kevin, do you have a family, Kevin?
I do, yeah.
And do your kids, I don't know what ages we're talking about, but...
By the way, Katie, if I can just say to you, I never had kids. I always had children. There's no such thing as kids. They're for goats. I have children in my family. We don't have any kids.
Okay, it's a colloquial statement, a word down our way. But anyway, your children, Kevin.
Children, anyway.
Yeah, your children. Would they go along with your... Would they be as supportive of Catholic teaching as yourself?
They wouldn't. But that doesn't bother me. I can't change to suit them.
Is that a disappointment to you?
No. I can't help it. What they do their thing. You know, I tell them so much, and I'm not always telling them things around like that. But I have told them things about God, like, that's it. Now, whether they go along with it or not, I won't have to answer for them, because I have told them. Now, it's up to them whether they follow it. I don't have to chase them around to see whether they're doing it.
Okay,
the Lord is watching over them,
okay.
And he knows what they've done and how to do it and all that. I wouldn't feel myself responsible for my children. I bring them into the world and raise them to a certain age. Then they're on their own. Let them go. I wouldn't be holding on to them or guiding them and telling them what to do every day of the week. Not at all. That's up to themselves.
Okay.
They can read.
Okay, Kevin, I want to bring
in... Do you not realise teaching intolerance?
Yes, but
you're teaching intolerant views to your children.
It's the thing about it is, nothing can beat truth, and this is truth. That's the thing. It's godly word. It's truth. Now you can call it whatever you like and do whatever
yourself.
You like.
You just said nothing can be truth, but this is truth. Which is it?
No, I just want to say, there's absolutely no point in arguing
over this or arguing with Kevin because he's extremely set in his ways. And that's fine. That's his opinion and that's fine. But I just want to say that if you tell young people or anybody that sex is wrong, masturbation is wrong, or watching pornography is wrong, they are still going to do it. They're just going to feel shame about it, which is extremely dangerous, extremely detrimental to young people's mental health. They're going to do it anyway, but they're going to feel shame, and that's going to stay with them for the rest of their lives, and it's going to cause serious problems for future relationships, sexual and otherwise, and that's all I have to say on that.
Because Sharon, thank you for that. I do have to take one last very quick break, but stay with us after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we just have a couple of minutes left. I think I can just squeeze in George. George, how are you?
Hi, Katie, listen, that programme, it was a terrible, terrible abuse. Let these young people, you, me and your mother and father, my mother and father, my, let them get on with their own life. This doesn't have to be broadcasted, and it's disgraceful. It doesn't have to be, is it? We don't, look, we all had our own private thoughts growing up. And I didn't see anything wrong with the way we were brought up, because we couldn't, they're all right. But now we've got, you can't do this, you can't do that, you've got the pornography, it's unbelievable what's going on. And we're just turning around, there's people just turning around and accepting whoever these are, bringing them in. Look what you've done to England, look what you've done to America, and we're on the same road.
But not talking about it won't make it go away, George.
Yes, we didn't talk about it in my day. It was a private thing. Casey, it was a private thing. It was your own private thoughts. Your own private thoughts. We all have them. And it didn't do us any harm.
Well, that's open to dispute, I would say, George.
Yes, of course it is. But there's only seem to be, nowadays there's only one side. There's only one. I've read four children, and there's nothing wrong with any of them, you know. And I never prayed into that as okay. I gave them as much as I could, as I thought I could. I was brought up a Catholic. I'm not a great Catholic, but believe me, what's going on today is absolutely despicable, and I don't like it.
Okay, George, I'm afraid that is all we have time for. George, I'm sorry you feel like that after our discussion today. But we have to leave it there for today. Today's programme was produced by Fergus Sweeney. Kieran Dunn was on sound. Research was by Richie Byrne and Killian Sherlock. And now stay tuned for Ray, who's up next.